Previously on the Wake Up Call with KB and Andy. It's the Wake Up Call with KB and Andy on 93.5 and 107.5. The Fan.
With the 15th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Liatu Latu, defensive end, UCLA.
Welcome to Indy. We're going to pick you right here. We're excited to get you, man.
What?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Well, one, I don't think you can ever go wrong drafting guys that can rush the passer. And we thought very highly of him. 2 years of play time on the neck. We felt comfortable with where he is.
I'm someone that can be comfortable in any uncomfortable situation. That's how I look at pass rushing.
Liatu Latu. That is the pick for the Indianapolis Colts, number 15 overall last night. Some serious trade offers is what Chris Ballard said, that the Colts tried to move up. We can discuss that a lot here on this Friday morning, but according to Ballard, one of the four or five best players they had in the entire draft, and he is now coming to Indianapolis. Medical questions, certainly, but high-end college production without question. Good Friday morning to everyone out there. Thank you for spending it with us. I am Kevin Bowen, Mark Dykton there on the open. Andy Sweeney alongside. 5:30 tonight, game three for the Pacers. Still waiting. I guess he was a busy man yesterday. Quite the news dump, if I must say. Still waiting for the Joe Hogsett letter to let everybody out of work early. We've got.
He's busy going to New York to try to bring an MLS. Get
shuffled
here.
With the MLS papers. We'll discuss a little bit of that as well. But Andy, just your raw reaction to Liatu Latu at number 15.
I told you before we went on the air, I thought the draft was a little bit boring. Now, I know you were at the facility watching it, so Mark, you can chime in. Mark and I, you know, we're flipping around. I didn't know how you watched it, but, you know, we're flipping around to the different, you know, ESPN, ESPN2. They got McAfee. We got the NFL Network and all the different shows going on. And, you know, right before Ballard is getting ready to make Latu an Indianapolis Colt, you know, I found it funny that that some of the mock draft stuff was spot on. You know, we started going down the list, and obviously Michael Penix Jr. going 8, good for him. You know, I told you before the show, going 38 or going 8 is a big difference in money. But Chris Ballard had kind of the pick of the litter, did he not? If he wanted a corner, he could have drafted a corner if he wanted, and we saw him draft an edge or anyone on the defensive line. He had a pick of anyone defensively and on that defensive line. And then after that first group of wide receivers, if you want to call it tier two with Brian Thomas and Xavier Worthy and some of those guys, he had an option to take somebody there as well. So, you know, for me, the position is not an issue. In fact, you wanted edge to be taken at some point early.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So I'm sure you're happy. Again, position is not a problem here. But let's be honest, the NFL was very split on Latu's medical stuff, on the neck injury that kept him away from football for 2 years. Now, we'll play the sound as we go today, KB. But, you know, he got injured back during the COVID year at Washington. And he said on the Zoom with you guys in the gas bag media that, you know, I mean, it was one of those things where he wasn't really looked over. It was more of a, hey, you had this neck injury. Now, he did have the neck fusion. I know, you know, that is something that we know about around here. But positionally, I'm good with it, okay? Ballard can own it. He got his guy. Could have taken a wide receiver. Could have taken any. Could have taken Quinyon Mitchell at corner. Tarrion Arnold, who you thought he was going to take. He didn't. So, position, I'm fine. But I have to be at least a little bit worried about the medicals. And, you know, I thought he didn't go measurables. He didn't go freak athlete. That would have been possibly other guys. Dallas Turner, who was there. You got to talk about that. Or Jared Verse. He went with production maybe over some of the athletic measurables, which I found very interesting as well.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a Colts scout during the draft process, and when we brought up Latu's name, he called him an absolute monster. But I just assumed medically he had been red flagged. And part of that was past precedent for me. You know, I go back to the 2019 draft, and Mark's guy, Montez Sweat, was sitting there at number 26 overall. The Colts red flagged him due to a heart condition, And if you look at the Montez Sweat career, I would say Chris Ballard probably has a little regret about that with how consistently Sweat has been as a pass rusher. So I found it interesting when I heard that name last night. The biggest question with Latu, I couldn't be less educated on. And everybody, frankly, couldn't be less educated on. It's the medicals. That's the big question. And, you know, there's an element I just kind of shrug my shoulders and think, yes, there are clearly some NFL teams that had issues with it. He also played every single game at UCLA the last 2 years.
Yep.
I asked Chris Ballard, you know, do you feel like longevity of his career is a little bit different, considering we're talking about a neck injury, and whether it's Leighton Vander Esch with the Cowboys or Clayton Gathers with the Colts, you know, there are neck issues that have caused guys to maybe not reach a second contract or whatever, not play into their 30s. And Ballard was adamant that was not there. If you can put the medicals to the side, which I get more than any prospect in this draft, this is hard to do. I don't know how you have much complain about this pick whatsoever. This team has had a constant issue in timely pass rushing, consistent pressure, closing out games. Do I need to remind you how many second and 20s and 15s C.J. Stroud turned into first downs in that season finale? Do we need to watch film of P.J. Walker driving down the field? Go back a couple years ago to Taylor Heinicke and Jalen Hurts and Davis Mills. I mean, so many times the Colts have had the fourth quarter play missing. And this pick, perhaps more than any other rusher we've seen in college football the last few years, this is a bona fide pass rusher who should bring instant pass rush production, which is needed, and that's high expectations, but it's needed because, again, if you have questions about longevity, you're going to have to get it early from him. And this is a pretty win-now move. You know, this is really that. I know a lot of people look at pass rushers and might not think that. This is a pretty win-now move, and you need those results early. So for me, it's such a position of need. It is a missing ingredient to your football team. This is one of the more, you talk to anybody in the NFL, they rave about his ability to rush the passer. Polish, technique, you know, multiple pass rush moves. And you brought it up right there, Andy. This is a bit anti-Chris Ballard.
It is. It is.
Chris Ballard would have been Dallas Turner.
Yes.
Of the first 6 or 7 years. The super tradey guy. Some nice college production, but not eye-popping by any means. And, you know, that was Quiddy Pay. If you want to be honest, a few years ago, Quiddy Pay did not have elite sack production at all at Michigan. But yet he had these high-end traits. Kamoko Turi was very similar coming out of Rutgers. Latu, I don't want to act like he's a poor athlete by any means. He's not the, whatever, 99 percentile in all of these categories. He still is a very high-end athlete, but more than anything, and the numbers are astonishing, the sacks, the tackles for loss, the pressures, the pass rush win rate, it's everything you want. So again, the medical questions, and it's extremely uneducated for me to comment on it, but as a football player, if he can give you closing moments early in his NFL career, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think what the medical does is it absolutely, and him being away from football for a couple years, KB, I think it absolutely is going to put fans on guard with Chris Ballard. And because Chris Ballard has not had playoff and winning success here at the level.
Yeah, benefit of the doubt is not really there.
Exactly. The Colts fans want, he's not going to get benefit of the doubt. And that is why, you know, we sit here today, and I really feel this way. If we sat here today, and I guess I would say I like the pick. Again, I am not against the pick. I'm not going to come in here and act like I have watched, you know, a game film of 15 different games that this kid's played over the last couple years at UCLA. And Ballard said yesterday, hey, go turn on that USC game and tell me how you like it. But, I mean, the reality is, I believe more than not, probably fans listening today are not exactly thrilled by this. They look at this and say, we've been conditioned by mock drafts and by people like us that, hey, we're going to take a corner. And by the way, of course, the bleeping Eagles get Quinyon Mitchell, which is an entirely different conversation that put me in a bad mood last night at about 11 o'clock. But anyway, we've been conditioned for corner. You always want the sexy pick in wide receiver. Put something around Anthony Richardson. You know, that's what we've been screaming. Again, positionally, I like it. they have on defensive end, you would agree with this, they have guys at that position that you can like, but they don't have guys at that position that you flat out love. And I think this is a three down guy. I mean, you mentioned him playing against the run. He can play against the run on first down or second down, and you know when you're going to rush the passer, he's going to be there as well. I think the other thing, KB, that it does is let's take two statements that happen apart from each other. Last night, and you were there, Chris Ballard is raving about his defensive line now. Is he not?
Yeah, I mean, it was easily the highest I've ever heard him talk about his D-line.
He feels, hey, we're ready to go on
one
this
of the best in the league.
Yeah, we're ready to go with what we already had, and we bring back DeForest Buckner, now Grover Stewart, on their contracts. They're happy, and they're probably not done. You know, they'll do something on that front seven, and they go get Latu. So he loves that defensive front. He just re-signed a linebacker in Zaire Franklin, and what did he say a couple days ago? I mean, he feels like what? He said it what last Friday? I feel like my defensive backs have grown up, that they're not. So if we take big picture, Chris Ballard seemingly loves this defense as much as he's loved perhaps, and you could answer this better than I, KB, perhaps any defense he's had here as general manager of the Colts. I mean, this would be, he goes into the season having to think that highly of his team. So I found that interesting as well. I really did, how, you know, now there's no excuse for Gus Bradley. Now you got the front seven, you got your 100 tackle linebacker under contract, you have this defensive backfield, you could add to it, of course, in later rounds here, that you think has grown up and is ready to play. There is something to that. That is what he believes. And if he has his convictions on his defense and Latu, then Ballard is going to excel with the pick he has made, or he's going to fall on the sword and it's going to end up being the wrong way.
You know, a couple things to add to that. You know, Gus Bradley's defense is rather simple. There's not a ton of blitzing involved. So if you're going to go down that path, which again, I would disagree with, but if that's the path you're going to go down, you need some individual dudes that can just win. And Latu won a whole lot at UCLA. And again, if you look at his pass rushing numbers, it's up there with the Bosa brothers when you look at college production from him. Andrew asked this, and I'm glad that he asked this question. He goes, the issue is Ballard has drafted the position endlessly without results. This is a different type of rusher. I want to make sure we stress that on multiple occasions. First off, this. And I said this all along about pass rush because, frankly, I was kind of in the minority. When a lot of people were screaming, you know, wide out and corner, I'm like, guys, don't forget about edge rush. If the right guy is there, you have to pull the trigger, in my opinion. That position is too scarce. It's too rare. It's hurt this team too often in recent years. If you have the opportunity, you pounce on it. This type of rusher, though, is not Kwadipe. It's not Kamoko Ture. We played the audio from last Friday, Chris Ballard, and he was asked a great question by Chris Ballard. Has your draft philosophy changed at all? And Ballard admitted, and judging by body language of all the Ballard pressers I've been to, reluctantly admitted that we have got to get a little bit more tape production to marry with the unique traits.
Yeah, that's this.
That is 1,000% this
1,000%.
This is not the 10.0 RAS score where Chris Ballard tells us to go watch the combine and go watch the pro day, and I feel like I'm watching underwear Olympics before I'm watching tape. This is you watch tape first. Now, again, he's still a high-level athlete. I don't want to act like it's you or me out there coming off the edge, but this is major, major college production at a position that is of premium need. This is different than Kwadipe. This is different than Kamoko Ture. And why you've invested a lot on your D-line, you don't have this fastball. And I've continually tried to stress that up. You have to have as many pitches as possible up front, and this guy should bring that. Now, expectations need to be high very early. I don't say that about rookies, but with his age, with his medical, and with his college production, you need to tap into that early. I think with your depth on the D-line, you don't have to run him into the ground. I'd probably, you know, you mentioned he could be a three-down guy. I might.
I mean, he won't be, but he can. I mean,
yeah,
he can if he can
stop
the run. You
don't necessarily need him to be.
They have so many pieces there,
but again,
right?
If you get to the fourth quarter and this guy can slam the door shut for you a couple times, that's exactly what you want and what you need and what has been lacking for your football team. So medical questions, certainly, they're fair to be asked. And I guess we just won't know until you see his entire career play out. The facts are cervical spinal surgery back in 2021. The same specialist that did Peyton Manning's neck. Washington did not clear him. He moves to UCLA. UCLA felt much more comfortable with that. His position coach made a switch to UCLA. He actually was a great professional rugby player, or looked to be that. He was thinking about playing that if football was going to say no to him. And then again, he's played every game at UCLA here each of the last two seasons. Yep. So tons to get to, because again, it wasn't just the Latu pick that I found interesting from Chris Ballard. He definitely sounded like a guy that thought long and hard about trading up last night.
Well, I think Chris Ballard, and we'll dive into more of that coming up at 7:30. I think Chris Ballard was trying to make a move up to get Marvin Harrison Jr.
So you go Harrison. I think a different guy.
It could be Odunze. I mean, obviously Chicago was willing to wheel and deal at 9. Maybe even the New York Giants. By the way,
Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers fallen. I was like, ooh, maybe.
Yeah, I was again. You know, I think I kind of mentioned to you guys yesterday. Like, I've heard a little bit more about that Bowers interest. I was pretty curious about that. And you know, if you take Ballard at his word from last night, and we'll play the clip upcoming. You know, it takes two to tango. Yeah. I think at times we forget that when you watch the offensive run of all these players. You know, Ballard made it clear that they made some big offers. I would go with Odunze if you made me pick on who they wanted. And if you're Mark's Bears,
but boy, Mark, you had a good night.
Why would you give that up?
Didn't you? I smiling over there.
I had a JMV sports arousal is all I'll say.
Now, sports arousal for Mark, would you describe Falcons fans as a bit flaccid on this Friday morning?
Oh, I'm so tired of hearing Kirk Cousins. Guys made $300 million. That won a damn thing. And Kurt, we got to worry about Kirk Cousins, his feelings about Michael Penix Jr. being drafted. Oh,
they
please.
Acted like Michael Penix Jr. was some like 20-year-old project.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't he the most ready?
So he's like 25 years old.
He's going to be, what, 29 when he takes his first NFL snap, theoretically?
Do you remember the guy that goes South Carolina State, the old man that went out to go play football like 5 years ago? There's a guy, he's like in his 60s that became a college player.
Notre Dame is a 30-year-old punter on their roster.
Do they
year.
Really? It's this guy. Remember this guy? To show it to the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, Danny Almonte's brother, right?
They're like, yeah, Danny Almonte, boy. I wonder how many people remember that, because that's a good reference.
How do you not shave the mustache before Almonte goes out on the mound?
I know, dude. Just shave the mustache. It's not
just
that.
Just shave it a little.
Just shave it a little. Everyone be fine with it. What
the
are we
fuzz
doing
hair,
here?
Get out of there.
Everyone's like, hey, he's going to be Michael Penix by the time Kirk Cousins is done with his $180 million contract with 100 guarantee. But everyone's worried about the feelings last night of Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles injury, being well up into his 30s. As for the draft as a whole, you know, the beginning of it, KB, look like the mock drafts. I'm like, what's going on here? And it's a little, I guess, a little bit boring in that. But this will be our morning. We have tons of sound. We have Latu sound. We have Ballard sound. We have Venturi sound. Coach was on our airwaves, of course, last night. And then on top of it, KB, as if this Friday wasn't crazy enough, we still got to dive into what the Colts should do, you know, coming up in rounds 2 and 3 and then beyond on Saturday.
Yeah, it's got to be pass catcher. Well, I mean, boy. I don't even want to imagine if it's not.
I know. It's got to be. And we, you know, will they move up to get somebody? I would imagine some are going to be going off
people
the board here.
People are booing at Gainbridge Fieldhouse with 2 minutes to go in the game if it's not a pass.
Well, yeah, you got the Pacers tonight trying to handle Prosperity. Chris Middleton's questionable. Okay, Giannis isn't going to play again, most likely. He's not going to play. So we have,
the line is growing.
I know. We have game 3 tonight. Well, yeah, Giannis and Middleton aren't there. We have game 3 tonight. And then, oh, yeah, what time was it? 4:30. You know, you had the mayor yesterday saying, yeah, we're gonna try to put in this bid for an MLS team.
Great PR 101, I think, by the mayor and his team, right?
Yeah,
the old, let's go with the 5:30 Thursday news dump.
On the NFL draft day.
Two and a half hours before the NFL draft starts. 6 years from the last home playoff game in this city as we're on the playoff eve. And just to literally salt in the wounds for the Indy 11 on their 11th birthday.
Oh, was it yesterday, their 11th birthday?
They dropped that.
It's quite the deuce in the gift box, I'd say.
Oh, man. The old deuce in the gift box from Mark Dighton. Yeah, so you had that. It's election season, you know? You gotta have something to talk about in election season. So, good God, we got a ton to talk about. So, what did Chris Ballard say last night? You'll hear from him. You're hear from Latu. Morning Checkdown. It's coming up next. 93.5 107.5.
It's the Wake Up Call with KB and Andy on 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
With the 15th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Latu Latu, defensive end, UCLA.
Welcome to Indy. We're going to pick you right here. We're excited to get you, man.
What?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Well, one, I don't think you can ever go wrong drafting guys that can rush the pass, and we thought very highly of him. 2 years of play time on the neck. We felt comfortable with where he is.
I'm someone that can be comfortable in any uncomfortable situation. That's how I look at pass rushing.
I'm looking at this pronunciation guide, Latu from the Colts. Lay, not lie, I think, if we're going to get technical here with the young man. That is the pick at number 15 overall. Chris Ballard made it clear last night that the Colts conjured up some big trade offers to move up. We will play that audio here in just a second. I did want to clarify one thing because, Andy, I saw it rampant last night. You actually brought it up to me in the break. Latu mentioned in his Zoom with us that he did not visit the Colts during the draft process. I think he was confused. He thought the question was specifically about a top 30 visit. Each team can bring 30 guys into their facilities during the draft process. The Colts certainly met with him during the draft process. They met with him at the combine. Their area scouts met with him a lot in an informal way at UCLA and throughout. He was at the Senior Bowl. So that caught on like wildfire. And honestly, I would say in a normal Colts draft, there's probably a few guys in each draft class that they either don't meet with or have very minimal contact with, because you're trying to keep your cards close to the vest. But a little confused there, Latu was, about that question.
Well,
last night.
Because I looked at KB and I go, you know, he kind of made it sound last night on the Zoom that he didn't have any conversations, you know, basically much with the Colts. And I'm like, okay, it's a big pick. Why would you not have contact, you know, with him if you're Chris Ballard? So it's good to see that was cleaned up. All right, let's play this sound. Here's Chris Ballard last night. Did you ask this?
Yes.
Okay, you did. On moving up, I mean, obviously, Bowers goes 13, some wide receivers on the board. I still think he was moving up for Marvin Harrison Jr. Perhaps. Here's Chris Ballard last night on trying to move up in round one.
We had some serious, serious discussions, yes. So we made a push. Just didn't, you got to get two to tango, man. Nobody was moving. And there's some good players up at the top of the draft. So, you know, when you're sitting there, you ask yourself, okay, is it worth moving back to 15 and missing out on one of those? We were fortunate back in 18 when we just were able to kick three spots back and still get, you know, a premium player in Quentin.
You know,
what do you think?
If I had to guess, it was Roma Dunze,
right?
Who went 9 to the Bears. That would be my guess. I had heard some whispers that Shane Steichen was a huge Brock Bowers fan. Now, again, he only went 2 spots ahead, and on paper, like the Bears and Dunze. Okay, that's obvious. The Raiders with Bowers is not that obvious to me. I remember seeing the Raiders get on the clock being like, oh, Bowers will fall again, because they just drafted Michael Mayer out of Notre Dame last year. But I do think it's a reminder of it does take 2 to tango. And, you know, no matter how significant you think the trade offer is, if, you know, a team up there in Chicago is looking at it very much like the Colts, they want to support their young quarterback with a guy that, you know, many people think can be a really, really productive wideout in this league. I think that's what you're seeing at play there. But I thought it was a really interesting answer from Ballard in regards to that. That is a question I have typically asked him after round ones. You know, did you think up? Did you think down? Any of that? And he is typically pretty candid. That's the first time I've ever heard him answer it in that manner, just to be clear to people out there. This is not an annual thing where Ballard's like, yeah, we, you know, put together this great trade package.
They tried to move up. Yeah,
right. So I think I believe him it. in that sense.
The Raiders and tight ends is like Mike Woodson and front court players.
Falcons and quarterbacks.
Sure, we need another one. Yeah, sure. Might as well load up another one. Well, here's the thing. You wonder if they didn't think Brock Bowers was did they think Brock Bowers was going to be there at 15? I mean, I think there's part of me that says yes. Like, I want to bust him over the head and say, hey, if Steichen really wanted Brock freaking Bowers, then you could have, you know, really tried to move up to get him in 2 to tango, and, you know, the Raiders may have wanted too much or didn't want to do it, or they really wanted Bowers. All those are factors that we'll never know. But I do wonder if they thought, hey, he's going to fall. And then Nate Atkins put out a thread. I don't know if this was last night. Nate, of course, we've had him on. You hear him all the time here. He's from the Indy Star, follows the Colts. And he thinks Odunze, like you said, at 9. He thinks there was also, it was either Marvin Harrison Jr. they were moving up for. They obviously, everyone coveted him, or Odunze. And, you know, so it didn't happen. And I don't blame Ballard for it not happening. You got to have teams that are receptive. And hell, if I'm the Cardinals, I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm not trading for draft capital Marvin Harrison Jr. But the question I would have going forward today is, you know, Ballard has taken heat, and rightfully so, and I'm not backing him here, but it seems as if, KB, he did try to do something that is uncharacteristic of how he usually handles
the draft. A stubborn man did something different.
And so it's like, I don't know if he gets credit for that, but it's worth noting that Ballard was... he was willing to move up and give up some of those picks this year or in the future to go get a wide receiver, and perhaps, had he known about Bowers, to maybe get Brock Bowers.
Yeah, and I'll focus on Latu. That is it's a stubborn individual that has chosen to do something differently with his philosophy. And for me, I do give him a pat on the back for that. I'm not going to act like we need to have a parade around Westfield for him. But at the same time, when you have routinely swung and missed at such a premium position, you don't stop swinging. You just change your swing. Okay? You know,
right.
Whatever.
Like a baseball player.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm looking at my dad down in the third base box right now. Like, no, Kevin, make sure the bat's swinging up and not down, et cetera, et cetera. And he changed the swing. And that change is a opt for more production and less trait E. There is still a very good athlete in Leatu Latu, but it is not this uber testing athlete that has 13 sacks to his name in college, and now you're trying to mold the ball out of clay. This is a very polished, very accomplished, really one of the best pass rushers college football's seen in the last couple of seasons. There's no debating that whatsoever. And now you are going to ask him to come in and give you early production. And that's where this pick would differ from a lot. If you look at recent 15 overall picks, Andy, you don't see instant impact from a lot of these guys who've been drafted 15 overall in recent years. That can't happen. So let me make that very clear. You need Latu to impact from day one, given his age, given his medicals, just given how high of a floor he walks in the NFL seemingly with. This is not your typical, wait till year three or year four of a pass rusher. Sometimes you see it with these guys. No, I mean, he's turning 24 on New Year's Eve. You need that production, and you need to feel it right away from him. This is his trainer, so obviously his trainer is going to say a lot of positive things about him. But for what it's worth, his pass rush coach, which he trains with in the offseason, said this: Latu is the only player I've ever worked with that I can comfortably say will line up next year and produce double-digit sacks with ease. I've worked with 7 first-round edge picks, including Quiddy Pay, in the past drafts. So, take that for what it's worth.
You mentioned 15 overall. I actually did a blog on this. I was trying to find it while you were talking on 107.5thefan.com. Last year, the 15th overall pick, the Jets took Will McDonald, played 184 snaps, so about like Anthony Richardson. In 2022, Kenyon Green got taken by the Texans. He's been injured. Mac Jones was 15th overall in 2021. Jerry Jeudy, Dwayne Haskins, Colton Miller, who's actually pretty good. And then you get back to 2017. 17 in Malik Hooker. So, yes, there are some non-desirables on that list. There's
no doubt
about it.
Rick Venturi audio?
Yeah, let's do that next. Coach was on last night on these airways. We'll do that. Who should the Colts take in round number two? We can focus in on that. And then Adam Schefter said something last night we got to get to that was both funny and amazing. We'll tell you what that is as well. Hanging out with you until 10 o'clock. Wake up call 93.5-107.5 The Fan.
It's the Wake Up Call with KB and Andy on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
With the 15th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Laiatu Latu, defensive end, UCLA.
Welcome to Indy. We're going to pick you right here. We're excited to get you, man.
What?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
We're fired up.
I can't hear us in here.
Yeah.
Let's freaking do it, coach.
I think he's going to produce pretty quickly as a rusher. I think he knows how to rush. He's pretty polished. I mean, this guy's a pretty polished product.
We've talked a lot about Laiatu Latu here on this Friday morning. Almost pursued professional rugby.
I saw that.
Another little anecdote to throw there. Big-time multi-sport high school athlete. Again, part of the same freshman recruiting class at Washington with Puka Nacua. So obviously you hope that bloodlines for the Colts continue. A lot that we've gotten to here. I want to make sure we play that Rick Venturi audio coming up in a bit to give his thoughts on the pick there at 15. But Andy, just overall, your initial impressions of Laiatu Latu.
You know, we talked about this in the 7 o'clock hour. What I love about it is, you know, Chris Ballard, he got to choose who he wanted here. And being at 15, we didn't know that was going to be the case. You know, we talked about it, you know, was there going to be a run on corner? You know, we talked about it, hey, it may be 11 or 12, 13, you know, whether it be the Broncos, Raiders, did someone want a corner? And so we, you know, we had all these scenarios where like, wow, you know, if it's the second or third corner or the Cooper DeJean guy, who, by the way, probably, you know, he didn't go in round one, he may go in round two. It's like one of those things, KB, where I'm like, you know, he got to 15, and the way it fell, I'm like, if he wants Dallas Turner, he can get Dallas Turner. You know, I didn't even think of our boy here, Laiatu, until he was taken. So I'm like, you can go defensive line, you can go edge, you can go corner, you can get outside of the top three wide receivers. If you want Brian Thomas Jr., he's there. If you want Xavier Worthy, he's there. And so that was my thing is, you know, Chris Ballard got... Sometimes I don't feel like you have a big choice unless you take at the very top of the draft. He had a choice here. And
literally took the first defensive player in the draft.
And listen, positionally, me and you agree. We love it. I mean, a lot's been made of wide receiver. I get it. They need to take one in round two. I get it. A lot's been made of corner because mock drafts and everyone thought, hey, they're going to take one of these corners. We spent so much time and effort on these corners that positionally, they didn't have someone like this. It's like if they would have drafted Xavier Worthy at wide receiver, they don't have someone who is that speed, 4-2, 140, can go get the ball that way and run by people. And that's how I feel with Laiatu, is they don't have this type of pass rusher. And like you have mentioned last segment and for the first 2 hours today, KB, this is opposite Ballard. It's opposite Ballard because he didn't go with guy at combine who is an athletic freak. He went with a guy who's a good athlete. He's not Jared Verse. He's not a Chop Robinson. He went with that guy who has a ton of production. I know some fans kicked back, and I think what has made me hesitant, why I was so torn on the pick last night, are the medical items. I mean, having that neck fusion surgery back in 2020, we'll play the sound as we go this hour, but, you know, he made the point of it was during COVID. He didn't feel that Washington really did a good job in evaluating him. I'm sure they do not feel that way, so there's going to be some he said stuff with that. But, and listen, that's going to follow him. He was out of football for a couple years. If he comes in here and the neck is a problem and he can't get to a second contract and he's not on the field anywhere close to 17 games in a season, his play is affected, then Ballard is going to have to own that. But, you know, Ballard told us, and this is my big takeaway, he told us last night, how much he loves his defensive line. He went in the offseason and he signed Zaire Franklin, and then he told us last Friday, KB, that he loves his defensive backs, that he thinks they grew up. And so some of the excuses or reasons, and Ballard falling on the sword for Gus Bradley last year, all of that to me is out the window. He loves his front seven. He loves his defensive line. He thinks his corners and defensive backs have grown up. He re-signed Blackman. He has Kenny Moore on a couple more years. And so this was a win now move. You could say maybe I'm talking myself into it, but I mean, listen, this was a high production guy. And I don't know, part of it's fun because it's not a guy that we talked about leading up to the draft, right? It's not Quinyon Mitchell. It's not.
I know we got a couple calls. Let's get to those. Mark, you said who's been hanging on the longest?
That would be Peter.
Hey, Peter.
Peter.
Hey. Peter, thoughts on the pick? Are you awake?
Yeah.
Are you hungover?
No. Okay. I'm like previous caller, Jason. It was at the draft last night. I was not hitting the bottle thinking we just drafted Bijan Warner 2.0. I was actually watching tape all last night, and by the end of the night, I thought, I think we got the next Max Crosby on our hands.
Ooh. Somewhere Gardner Minshew's getting a little scared. What do you call Gardner Minshew? Again,
little ass boy there.
Yeah,
you little ass boy.
Yeah, I think if you look at the NFL cop, Peter, thank you for the call. What'd he say? Wasn't hitting the bottle, but he was watching tape late?
Was not.
I thought he said bong at first, and then I said, oh, no, he said bottle, and then he went to, he's watching tape. So, God
bless
him.
Both.
Sports, you can watch sports the guru watch there.
Someone say you might watch tape better.
Sure.
Being under the influence of something.
Trey Hendrickson was the name. Yeah. Rick Venturi has mentioned. Again, TJ, well, I guess we're going with all the white pass rushers here. But, if you look at Latu's numbers, you said it, Andy, maybe not the crazy, crazy testing athlete, but I also don't want to act like this is not,
right, it's not me,
a top-level athlete. I think his 40-yard dash time, you want to get super technical, I think it's like in the 80 percentile for defensive ends. His 10-yard split was, I think, in like the 60 percentile. So, again, we're talking an above-average athlete. As we've talked about, and I just mentioned it big time in the last segment, it's the production that is totally different. There is a high-end level of production there that you have. And the numbers, you can look at a variety of them. Led college football in tackles for loss last year, 21.5. 23.5 sacks the last two seasons. His 26% pass rush win rate is the most college football seen in the last 3 years. So
those are substantial numbers.
Substantial numbers.
Yeah. He's not a combine freak. He's not that guy. And sometimes those guys work out, by the way.
Not the crazy wingspan either on that end. So that's probably something that stands out as well. Keith, Mark, am I seeing that right? Hey, Keith.
Hey, what's going on? On the Latu thing, I'm really shocked that they would take anybody with a neck problem in the first round. That just seems like, man, that could go south at any time with a neck. But anyway, I'm not calling about that. You guys were talking about Ballard. Does he go by a guy that tests well, or is he a freak, or does he go by stats and numbers? Well, I'm a diehard Packer fan. I like the Colts because I live here. But my Packer people were talking about Morgan, our pick, and they were saying, wow, Morgan just stoned Latu. Latu never even got close to the quarterback. So is Latu getting all these stats that you guys were talking about, the pressures and the sacks, on guys that were good like Morgan from Arizona? Or was he getting it on a lower grade tackle from California and some other teams in the Pac-12 that, is he racking up numbers on not so great guys? Because he didn't do it on the one, the great tackle. So you gotta look, you can't really go by numbers, and you can't go by, we've seen a lot of guys that were freaks testing in the combine, and they were duds when you get them on the field. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, Keith, it's a great question. Thank you. I mentioned this earlier in the show. Seven ranked opponents for UCLA the last 2 years. These are the sack numbers against those seven ranked opponents. One sack, a half sack, one sack, one and a half sacks, two sacks, one sack, and a half sack. So he had a sack against all seven ranked opponents. He had a half sack in two of those games, the multi-sack games. USC, he had one and a half sacks. And then Utah this past year, he had two sacks. So I think anytime
it's spread
out, see
that
production, I think it's it's a great point. Now, you know, he mentions Jordan Morgan, who is Arizona. Obviously, that's not a ranked guy. But, you know, if you look at it, you know, there are plenty of offensive linemen on those teams. I mean, hell, I think Oregon State and Washington each had offensive linemen, if I'm not mistaken, go last night there. And I do think of the Senior Bowl, obviously, against a lot of top-flight offensive tackles. He had a nice run there.
239-1070, before we get to Kyle, I wanted to ask you this. Ballard had the hat on during the press conference, but all the video that the Colts are putting out, Ballard had the locks flowing last night.
He did
night.
Have did some you, flow.
Did you see that? Ballard's got great hair. Why is he always wearing a hat?
Yeah, part of me was like, can we dial up We Grow Hair Indy here? I always thought Ballard had good, tremendous flow.
Let it go. Now, you've been putting
out a little mullet action at one point.
You've been putting out videos, you know, in the last couple days.
I mean, people think I'm held hostage.
Dude, it looks a little bit like that, but I'm telling you, man. Your hair's looking good. We Grow Hair Indy now. I have terrible hair, so I'm going to be in your boat here sooner rather than later.
Well, and dial them up.
The hat's kind of my thing, but I'm looking at Ballard last night. Like, take the hat off, man. What are you doing? You got great hair.
He's got the Bryce Harper of hair, and he
really does.
It was
a mullet cap for a little while there. Yeah, people have been worried about me in those selfie videos. I'm like, do you have two kids? Do you try to get away from the chaos and get to a quiet area? I got to look like I'm kind of trapped in the basement there.
You have a, you shoot them from up top. You hold the phone up.
I know, maybe.
It's a MySpace look.
Yeah, maybe. I shouldn't be going down that path there. I do think, and we talked about this a little bit with Latu today, I think where the instant impact will come will be involved in the pass rush package. I don't know, and this is where some of the nitpicking I think is fair of this selection. I don't know if you're getting some three-down guy for a decade. Like, I can't say that with some confidence today. But what I think I can say with some confidence is you should be getting a pretty effective third-down rusher.
Game one.
I would say as early as you could hope for from a young pass rusher. And you need that. Let me make that very clear. You know, part of me walking into the complex last night, I'm like, man, I feel like everybody just thinks when you take the guy round one, he's going to come in and be dominant for you from day one. And you would put up on our website, you know, a history of the 15th overall pick, and it's not a rich history, particularly instant impact. But again, given Latu's college production, and then when you factor in questions about, and I asked about this last night, and he quickly downplayed it, I'm like, do you have longevity questions? You know, this guy turns 24 on New Year's Eve. He's got a neck injury. You know, whether it's Clayton Gethers for the Colts or Leighton Vander Esch for the Cowboys, or, I mean, hell, you look at back and spinal stuff with Darius Leonard. You know, longevity of careers are legit questions. And again, Ballard downplayed it and said, no, that's not a question I have. But if that becomes a concern, then you need the early returns quicker. Where I think this differs from other positions is the fact that he is playing a premium position. And it's a missing ingredient you haven't had. I don't need to remind Colts fans, I've done it all morning long, of the quarterbacks, particularly some of them very sorry quarterbacks, that have walked down the field on you in the fourth quarter and stolen the game from you. You need closers. You have not had enough closers. And if this guy can be a closer for you with the quarterback schedule you're facing in 2024, that is a huge step in the right direction of this pick being ahead.
Yeah, and I don't think he is a one-trick pony. There's guys that's like, okay, go take the edge, and that's what you can
do. Only speed, only power.
I don't think that's him. I don't think that's him either. I think he's a little bit of everything. If you had to set it, sack numbers year one if he's healthy, is it wrong to put that at like 7.5? Something like that? And that's a lot.
His trainer said double-digit sacks.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know he's in the bag for him, so I get it. So I'm taking with what he's saying, and I'm with you.
Again, to me, it's almost get away a little bit from the – and I understand why we throw out the raw number, because it's easy for everyone to look at a stat sheet. To me, it's the consistent and timely pressure.
Right.
And the fact that you don't need him to be a three-down guy, Andy, that should keep him fresh.
Yeah,
and I don't know, maybe that lengthens his career a little bit as well. So – I think all of those are worth pointing out.
239-1070. Kyle up next here on The Fan on this Friday. Kyle, good morning. Fire away, buddy. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you today?
Good.
So I think I can, you know, sum up how a lot of Colts fans are feeling this morning. I have to say I went to bed disappointed with Turner on the board and us passing on him. I think, Andy, you made a good point. All the mock drafts I've been looking at for the last several weeks, I didn't even know who Latu was. And so, you know, when we drafted him, you know, had to do the Google search, you know, find out more information. But I think, you know, waking up this morning, I think the pick actually makes a lot of sense because Turner is probably going to be the best overall edge defender in this draft. But I think Latu is the best edge rusher. And that is what we need. I think we have a lot of good edge defenders who have limited pass rushing skills. But Latu gives us something, you know, that we really don't have on the defensive line. And then as far as the injury goes,
that's a great point, by the way, Kyle.
Yeah, the guy's played 2 years in college. I think it's 23 games, never missed a game because of the neck injury. And so, you know, a lot of people want to compare him, you know, to Gethers or Van Der Esch. He plays a different position. You know, he's not going to be, you know, coming from the secondary, going downhill, meeting the running back in the hole. And so I think, you know, just the position he plays is really different from Van Der Esch and Gethers. And so I don't think, you know, that's a fair comparison. But overall, I think this, you know, I really like this pick. I think he is something we do not have on the defensive line. You know, Turner may end up, you know, being a Pro Bowler. But I think when you compare their pass rushing skills, I think, you know, Latu definitely, you know, has the numbers to back it up.
I think that's a really, really good call. Thank you, Kyle, for that. I've been saying, kind of making the baseball analogy, you need more of the fastball guy off the edge. You need more of that. And then as far as Van Der Esch and Gethers are concerned, one thing I would add to it as well, you know, he makes a good point about just, I guess, the velocity or the impact level of the hits for a guy at safety or linebacker a little bit more than a defensive lineman. Again, with Gethers and Van Der Esch, they both play positions where you rarely take those guys off the field. Whereas Latu, I do not expect him to be playing, you know, 80, 90% of your defensive line snaps. Really, no one does on your D-line. And the Colts have been very vocal about it. They do not want him, or they do not want really any defensive lineman playing that much either. So I think it was some really good points, Kyle, man.
I'm looking at Dane Brugler going back now. He had Latu third on his edge guys. He had Dallas Turner one, obviously. And he had Jared Verse, who went right behind. Where did Verse go? Like just a couple picks behind the Colts there. He had Latu. The style of play reminded him of Jalen Phillips, who was taken by the Dolphins in 2021. So we need to go back and look at him. That's the player comparison that Dane Brugler used.
Didn't Phillips have a retirement at 1.2, or am I imagining things?
Boy, I can't remember. I really can't remember. I need to look up Jalen Phillips. I can't remember what he's done.
Verse went to the Rams at 19.
Last night on all these airwaves, you heard Rick Venturi and Matt Taylor with draft coverage. For those that missed Coach Venturi's thoughts on the pick, here was Rick Venturi.
Best athlete. He is not the best athlete. He's a 4.64, 9.8 broad jump, 32 vertical. So I'm a little worried about where the ceiling is. But when you talk about production and you talk about skill, this guy gets to the quarterback. He really gets to the quarterback. It's, you know, he has a legitimate amount of sacks in his last 2 years. He overcame those injuries early. That was a knock on him, but he's played two full years. That doesn't bother me. So, again, this is a guy that you put on the edge. He's got to be productive. He's got to play to those college numbers.
Real quick, tonight, so I want to remind people that are going to be following this tonight, and help me, Scotty, because I believe I'm right here. The NFL draft stuff, it's up on our board. 7 o'clock tonight is going to be over on WIBC. So the Colts, you're going to hear the breakdowns of the Colts and their draft stuff, 7 o'clock over on IBC. Obviously, here beginning at 5 o'clock with the tip-off at 5:30, Pacers-Bucks Game 3 down the road at Gainbridge. So we'll have that, and then when all of the Pacers post-game and everything is done with whatever broadcast is left there on IBC, we'll be simulcasting here on the Fan and IBC the rest of that Colts stuff coming up later tonight.
And again, middle of round two for the Colts, middle of round three. Andy, I think anytime I get to day two of the draft for the Colts, I think trade back. They have traded back quite last year. They did it twice in round two. Now, again, if you believe Chris Ballard at his word, there was a heavy trade up discussion. Mark, can you cue up that audio? I thought that was actually pretty good candor from Ballard last night. And I know a lot of people are quick to say this. Well, what do you expect Ballard to say? Andy, I have asked Chris Ballard this specific type of question, I would say, in virtually every draft he's made with the Colts. This is now draft number 8. And he is usually not one that says,
oh, yeah, we put together this grand package and we were trying to trade up. You know, we felt good about, you know, how the board was falling and, you know, whatever. The asking price was too much, et cetera, et cetera. You know, something along those lines there. This was Chris Ballard last night in regards to if trade up was discussed.
We had some serious, serious discussions, yes. So we made a push. Just didn't, you got to get two to tango, man. Nobody was moving. And I don't, there's some good players up at the top of the draft. So, you know, when you're sitting there, you ask yourself, okay, is it worth moving back to 15 and missing out on one of those? We were fortunate back in 18 when we just were able to kick three spots back and still get, you know, a premium player in Quentin.
So to Ballard's point, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, Minnesota and the Jets, they just flip-flopped, right?
Basically, yes.
Minnesota took J.J. Yeah. McCarthy. That was 11-10. That was the only trade we saw.
I'm stunned.
In the first 16 selections.
I'm stunned by that. If you'd have told me that, I thought we were going to get pure chaos. I really did. And the only chaos we got...
Well, Penix to Atlanta was chaos.
Yeah, Penix to Atlanta was chaos, but there wasn't a trade involved. And then I would say the Broncos taking Bo Nix and Sean Payton telling Adam Schefter that he did so because he viewed Nix like Pat Mahomes is going to be on the gravestone of Sean Payton's NFL career if he doesn't work out there in Denver. Going back to Ballard, one thing that I said earlier, and it fits this mold, is that, you know, around here, and I understand it, people don't want to hear, well, you tried to do something. When you're in year eight and you're Chris Ballard and you haven't had the on-field success, I can understand why patience is completely gone. But it is worth just throwing out there that Ballard tried, I believe, to move up for one of those big-time wide receivers. Nate Atkins of the Star threw out not only Odunze at 9 with the Chicago Bears, but he threw out how, hey, he threw Marvin Harrison Jr. I think Ballard made it. I don't know if that happened. I think Ballard made a play, though, for one of those top three, at least one of them. Odunze would be the third on that list. He made a play for a wide receiver and openly talked about it. So that would have been vastly different from everything we've talked about. I mean, you've chuckled when we've had the conversations about Ballard moving up, how anti-Ballard it is. And then you mentioned taking the guy that has the on-field tape more so than just some of the combine numbers. Maybe he went against himself that way as well. So all those things are out there. Let's.
I think it was Odunze.
I think it probably was. Well, I mean, to go up
so
to
Mark,
4
be even
nine,
happier.
Yeah.
What if that would have happened, Mark? If the Bears traded out, and today we're talking about the Colts getting Odunze at 9, and your Bears moved back, and I don't know who they would have taken.
I mean, I would have
15.
Had to see the compensation for it, but I was like, if Odunze's there, you run that card
right,
up
because I know
instantly.
It is. You wanted him.
It yes. is funny you say that, Mark, because, you know, as the day moved along, I started to hear a little bit more of a Steichen really likes Bauer, Steichen really likes Bauer. So I'm, you know, trying to do some of the trade math in my head of what it would look like. The one that I was kind of getting on was 15-8. So again, that would be to jump the Bears. And if you look at the trade charts, and I know we're super nerdy with this, but basically if you were to get to 8, you would have had to give up your 15th,
mm-hmm.
probably your 46th,
probably.
Which is round 2. Now, you'd probably get back like a 4th or a 5th from, in that trade scenario, would have been Atlanta. But that's what it would have looked like. Of you probably would have only had 2 picks in the top 100. Obviously, you would have taken, you know, what, a Rome Odunze or a Brock Bowers at that point. I can't believe the Raiders took Bowers.
Well, we'll never know if the Colts sat there and thought we're going to get Brock Bowers is going to fall to us at 15.
It seems
that's the
like
question.
This is me reading some Ballard tea leaves from last night. But when he was asked, again, he called Latu one of the 4 or 5 best players in the draft, period.
He did.
And when people asked him the why or the how behind it, he mentioned positional value quite often. He's a rusher. He's a rusher. I mean, that was a phrase he said on more than one occasion. Now, again, I agree with that. I think pass rush should have a higher value. So it almost seems like, you know, if you put Latu, because you can make the case, Brock Bowers is the Latu of tight ends. I mean, when you look at college production.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
If you're purely
sure.
going to call the best college football
right.
players in this draft,
right.
you could literally say Bowers and Latu are 2 of them. Hell, Joe Holt probably is the other. So positional value.
Yeah.
I think that's here. Now,
you know, is it a disservice to call Bowers just a tight end? And, you know, some would obviously push back against that, but very interesting.
It's a question that we'll never know. I mean, we'll never know if they sat there 15 thinking, boy, we're going to get, you know, Bowers to really fall to us. And good God, if you would have had the chance of edge, corner, and Bowers and some of the wide receivers there at 15, that would have been surprising. One more before we get to a morning check down, 239-1070. Scott up next here on the wake-up call on this Friday. Scott, good morning, man. How are you?
I am blessed to be around and be a football fan, be a Colt fan. I actually thought all along that we should be looking at edge because we had a great number last year, but our schedule was weak. And this year we're going to have upgrades of quarterback.
Preach.
And you there?
Yeah, preach. You were spot on. Keep going. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I guess I did.
No problem. But also, with all those great numbers we had last year, it seems like it was never at a critical point. I mean, every sack, every tackle for loss is appreciated. But, you know, you get into those moments and you're like, gosh darn, let's go. And they would have all the time in the world to go downfield. So if this changes that, then I think Ballard has hit a home run. But time will tell. But that's the reason I thought it was a great pick. Yeah.
Scott, thank you for that call. Again, last year, Andy, 10 of your 17 quarterbacks you would label as backup or rookie quarterbacks. You do a quick scan of this year's schedule for the Colts. Josh Allen, Caleb Williams, Tua, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, and then multiple meetings with C.J. Stroud and Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, there's an uptick this year.
I did not mention Daniel Jones. Sorry about that.
It'll be Drew Lock
of
by
the
then
three
anyway.
Three rookie QBs that went in round one that are on the Colts schedule, Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy, and Drake May, will they see all three of them?
I'm going to say no, they won't see all three of them. I love Caleb Williams. I mean, the Bears have done exactly what you would want anyone to do, what we want Anthony Richardson to have here. They have surrounded him. I mean, right, Mark? I mean, what do they have? They have a tight end. They have three wide receivers. They got a
Cole
couple
Kmet,
backs.
Cole Kmet, Keenan Allen, I mean, DJ Moore, Romo Dunze.
DeAndre Swift?
DeAndre Swift.
I mean, what else do you need? I mean, offensively, Caleb Williams walks in to a spot. It sure as hell a lot better than what Drake May walks into.
He's walking into the best spot probably a first overall pick can ever ask for. You have a 7-win team that's already looking like a playoff team already, and you have plenty of weapons around a team. And it's a 7-win team. How many number one overall picks
exactly
go to a 7-win team? Exactly. It doesn't happen.
Mark might be booking Super Bowl tickets here.
Well, let's get a stadium built first. Hold on.
If J.J. McCarthy works out, that division's Jordan Love's – we'll see what happens with Green Bay. You can hit the sounder. Chicago has taken a big step forward. You know, that division, I mean, the Lions are an NFC East Super Bowl contender. That's a good division.